The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, SmackDown Review.
Welcome, everyone, to Wrestling of the Max's SmackDown Live Review for May 16th, 2017. And, of course, you can come find all the great reviews that we have to offer at W2Mnet.com. That's right, a place where you go find all sorts of great wrestling content, plus a lot more. Also, don't forget to go subscribe to Wrestling of the Max, because that's going to give you all these reviews. Plus, it's also going to give you our episodes of Wrestling of the Max that we bring to you twice a week. Trust me, lots of great content. You're not going to want to miss a minute of the action. Plus, if you love W2Mnet.com and you're like, man, well, where can I get all the rest of the content? Well, go check out the W2M Network. That's right. Go subscribe to that. And, of course, that'll get you every podcast that our website has to offer you guys. And, you know, of course, you know, go rate and review as well. That gives us a little bit of help and, of course, gives the word out about our podcast. I am Gary Vaughn. Along with me is our host, Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And Paul, this SmackDown Live leads into the go home for Backlash. So that'll be happening this weekend. Of course, if you'll listen to our part two this week for Wrestling in the Max, everybody will get our predictions. So we're not doing that tonight. We'll be holding off till Wrestling in the Max part two of this week. But, of course, we'll give you all the lowdown on what happened on this episode. And let's go ahead and do it, Paul. Let's jump into it.
Yeah, man. So, in light of Backlash being this Sunday, they decide to have the respected number one contenders for the singles championships go one-on-one. But before we get to that, Kevin Owens opens the show. He has absconded with Chris Jericho's highlight reel since he sent him packing, and talks about how great he is and how he's going to do the same thing to AJ Styles on Sunday, and really just does a wonderful job of putting himself over and everything he's about. AJ comes out and, of course, has to interrupt him. Kevin Owens says he didn't invite him here. He's not his guest. And AJ doesn't really care because he wants to go ahead and get this shindig going right now, which brings out Jinder Mahal, who was supposed to be Kevin Owens' guest. And he says that Styles is your typical rude American and that tonight when they face off, he's going to beat the respect into him, essentially, and, of course, puts over the fact that he will be the future WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And that leads right in the singles match. Jinder Mahal takes on AJ Styles to get about 15 minutes. I thought this was fine for the most part. It's not like they needed to go overboard on this or anything like that, but, I mean, AJ can work well with anybody, and it definitely has some bright points to it. Jinder wins after some help from the Singh brothers / the Bollywood boys, if you're still having trouble connecting the dots for the name change, because I sure do every once in a while. And, you know, Jinder needs the wins, right? Whether he's losing, whether he's winning by cheap tactics or however, he just needs to look important. And I think they've done an okay job of that so far. It's just a shame it kind of has to come at AJ Styles' expense, but we know, I mean, AJ is kind of almost untouchable at this point on SmackDown.
AJ Styles is that wrestler that everybody talks about that can wrestle a broomstick and come out looking like a five-star match, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what everybody, that's the old cliche. So, I mean, really, honestly, you can't go wrong with AJ in most any area. I mean, I really feel like you could have him in a feud with, Carmella. Ellsworth. You can have a match with Ellsworth again, do that stuff again, and I think it would be just as entertaining because AJ Styles is just that good. And man, it took me forever to find Ellsworth's name. I don't know why, but anyway, that's not the point of this. So I think taking him out of this whole equation What's really interesting here is really, honestly, Jinder Mahal. I think Jinder Mahal is a guy that we're kind of starting to try to see if we do like him, if we feel like he deserves the spot that he's in at this current time, and that's the main event picture. And honestly, I mean, he's got a great physique. He kind of looks the part. He's really tried himself out in this whole, you know, major heel role. I mean, he's always been kind of a heel, but never to this point where he's been able to speak so much and really, you know, honestly get the victories. You just pointed out the victories. Yes, that's super important, because still I think people that really remember Jinder Mahal know Jinder Mahal is that guy who, you know, loses tons of matches.
Right.
So, I mean, with the help of the Singh brothers and getting this on a play, I think they've done a great job and at least making us believe that it's possible for him to be where he's at. To beat Randy Orton, I don't know that they've sold us on that yet. But they've sold us that maybe he can and should deserve to be in that spot that he's in, for the fact that he's having lots of help like any kind of heel does. So, you know, I feel bad for the guy tonight. It sounded like he had some kind of cold or something, because he didn't sound like he was really strong vocally. I don't know if that's the case, but it sounded like he was having a little bit of trouble there.
He got to do a lot of talking on Talking Smack as well, talking about how everybody sort of underestimated him, and on Sunday he's going to prove that he's a champion. And he wasn't as sharp as I feel like he has been before, because he just sort of kept reiterating the point instead of trying to present it differently each time they brought it to him. So there might be something to him maybe being a little bit under the weather.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just kind of felt like, you know, he was struggling getting it out compared to AJ and of course, Kevin Owens. And so, who knows, maybe he is under the weather. But I think, you know, we'll talk about him more in the show. The one thing I do want to point out, Paul, and bring up is Kevin Owens. Now, I love Kevin Owens. I'm a big fan of his. The one thing that is kind of bothering me right now with him is the fact that I just don't know if I've come to the conclusion that he's actually on SmackDown, or he hasn't exactly been in a role that is exceptionally good for him, maybe. I don't know. I kind of feel like he's still a little bit out of place, and I don't know that he's doing too terrible on his promos, but I don't know that these are really his strongest days on the mic in general. I mean, I just... it's like a fish out of water in a way to me.
I thought he was fine, and there's a couple of reasons that might lend some credence to your argument. Is he's only been here for maybe a month, and for half of that time he was still working Raw, right? So, I mean, it's not like he's been given a ton of opportunities on SmackDown so far to really go out there and try to present the case. And two, like, I'm not a fan of his current gimmick. Like, he's doing well with it because he's such a talented guy. But him just being the smug, better than you, cheesy French guy without the cheesiness, right? It's not connecting with me as much as his previous gimmick did, where it was more about being the prize fighter, beating you up, and that was how he was showing that he was better than you. Not so much the foreigner thing. Even though he's just French Canadian, but I mean, it might as well be a different world. The gimmick just doesn't connect with me as well. I still enjoy his work. I just, well, as far as promos go, like, he doesn't seem, you know, he's missing that edge that I think he had before.
It's odd to say this, right? But it's almost like he had more creative control or something on Raw, which is definitely odd, because that's the place where you go to lose all your creative control. SmackDown's usually the place you can be a little bit more free, and yet here it's almost like someone had the idea of, hey, you should use that whole French thing more and be, you know, more smug. And I don't know, it's almost like he's kind of going with it even though he kind of hates it. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't, but that kind of way I feel sometimes when I'm watching him, like, he's doing this, but I don't know that his heart's in it all the way. So maybe that's what I'm getting from him. Once again, I love Kevin Owens, and I don't think he's doing a terrible job. I just don't think this fits. You hit the head on the nail of that, you know, really, this is not the kind of guy that we like. We love the Kevin Owens who comes out, tells you I'm the best, and beats the crap out of people, not speaks French and makes us feel stupid. That's not the Kevin Owens we like. I like when he makes you feel stupid by being sarcastic. So
right.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah, and just to, I guess, sort of expound upon all this going forward, Randy Orton gets a promo, says that people hate Jinder not because of his cultural background, but just because he's an ass. And then Baron Corbin ends up attacking Sami Zayn while he's doing an interview. So their match at Backlash is confirmed now, as per the Sami Zayn interview before he got jumped, which leads us right into the main event of Randy Orton taking on Baron Corbin. They get about 13 to 14 minutes or so. Randy ends up winning clean with the RKO. And then after the match, Jinder comes out with the Singh brothers and they do the beatdown, and Mahal raises the belt high. And to continue on, you know, like, Mahal looks like I think he belongs in there, even if it's just because he's cheap and he has all these, you know, extracurriculars happening around him. I'm still not sold he can win, though, you know, and Randy and Baron's match felt like they were holding back a whole lot just because I feel like that's something big they want to do down the road. And because obviously they have high hopes for Baron. It's just waiting for the right time to pull the trigger with him.
And really quickly on Baron, I think that, you know, for the most part in this match, he held his own. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm not sold that, you know, this is really the matchup right now for him. Randy Orton is so smooth in the ring, and I think he does such a great job. I still don't know that this is overwhelmingly great, though. I think we're still seeing Baron Corbin go to the paces and learn as he goes throughout this process. And as well as he did, I still don't think this was a perfect match when it comes to chemistry and all of that. But that's not really the focus, right? I mean, you got what you needed out of it. Baron Corbin looked good at the end. He didn't really look fairly well at the beginning, which is, mm-hmm. you know, what it should be. But towards the end there, he looked pretty dominant. And that's what we need to buy into and understand about Baron Corbin. So I think they did a nice job there, especially throwing him in a match with a guy like Randy Orton. So, talking about this whole Jinder Mahal thing again, and we're touching back on it, you know, with this situation with Randy Orton. I didn't mind this so much, you know, kind of doing this whole, you know, hey, we're going to beat him down and, you know, well, I'm the champion. This is a regular staple in wrestling. This is, you know, normal. But, you know, I want to talk about what you were talking about with Image, and we've kind of touched on this plenty of times already. You know what it reminds me of? It kind of makes me think of when I go to the dollar store to buy sodas. And I'm buying sodas at the dollar store, and I'm going to buy, Buzz Cola or something like that. Dr. Thunder. In Texas, people love Dr. Pepper. I don't know anywhere else, but I know in the state of Texas, people love Dr. Pepper. There's also the knockoff Dr. Thunder. It's almost like Jinder Mahal is Dr. Thunder. He kind of looks the part, and you think possibly he could taste the part, but there's still something a little bit off, and you're not sold that it's going to actually be as good as you would hope if you would have bought that Dr. Pepper. So that's the way I'm looking at him, and I hope he grows, and I hope he gets better. But right now, I still don't believe that he has sold himself enough to make people believe that he is going to hold that belt.
I absolutely agree with you, and I absolutely love your Dr. Pepper pun, so I can't do any better.
I was trying to go through my head of all these knockoff sodas, and so that's the perfect one, I think. But, yeah. No, I mean, I don't want anybody listening to think that we're knocking Jinder Mahal. I think both of us want to see him do well, and especially with a guy like Jinder Mahal who's, man, he's put the work in. This guy has jobbed all around the world for the WWE for a long time and has hit the indie scene and has done so much. And it's nice to see one of these guys get this opportunity. And I hope more do. I really, really do. So, Jinder, break that glass ceiling for guys who've been working really hard. I hope it works out for him.
I'm right there with you. One of the reasons why SmackDown is the show I prefer to watch every week is because they try so many different things with all these talents that have either been floating around or haven't really gotten a fair crack at the top of the card yet. And, I mean, we heard AJ Styles himself say it back on Talking Smack about a month ago. You know, Raw, SmackDown makes them and Raw takes them. And that's how it goes. And I really hope Jinder works out too, just because you need more proof in the pudding that if you put the machine behind it and you give these guys the opportunity to do so, that they can go out there and capitalize on this at any given time. And I don't hate Gender, right? I mean, he's not, you know, like I've said on here before, he's not a great wrestler or anything like that, but he's fine. I think he's fair on the microphone. Like, he can be something. I don't know if he could be WWE champion, but he could certainly be a great mid-carder for them or somebody who you could work around for a long time for the you know, the near future, 5 years or so, of maybe he can be a good United States champion for you, or maybe he can turn into a big heat magnet for you, or maybe he turns into this big Indian superstar that you've been trying to create with him. So I really do hope it works out for him. I really do.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And it's also nice to have the Singh brothers involved as well. You know, if you're really wanting the Indian demographic to be huge and to really follow WWE because of these guys, that's great. It's excellent. And keep putting them in these type of roles. And, you know, you're right. You don't have to have Jinder in the main event. But if he's in there, I think it's still a positive thing. And he doesn't have to be the best wrestler in the world to be a main eventer. We've seen this in wrestling history in general. But, I mean, I think that at least him having that opportunity gives a lot of credence to WWE, but not only that, gives hope for those fans in India. So hopefully other places and other countries get the same. I think when Nakamura hits WWE and gets in that main event picture as well, it's going to be a big deal, especially in Japan where, you know, they've not really gotten a lot of love over here in the States when it comes to the main event titles and all that.
At least as far as WWE goes.
Yeah, WWE. Ring of Honor, all those companies do a great job. It's WWE, the big boys is what we're talking about.
Right. And speaking of Nakamura, they do one little segment for him and Dolph. Dolph gets a pre-taped segment, essentially, where he shows off video of what Nakamura has done in the WWE, which is just a big footage not found loop for about 15 seconds. And then Ziggler shows a video about what he's done, and it's all these great things that he's done, all of his championship wins, all of these great matches, all these great moments, and promises to expose Nakamura Backlash and spit in the face of the hypocrites that have turned their backs on him in light of Shinsuke being this big international star and all this. So I'm looking forward to the match. I can't say the build-up has been anything special, but I think Dolph and Nakamura will, if they get the time, I think they can put on something really special.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's what makes me really interested to find out what they are going to really come to the conclusion of what they need to do. Because I think that they could really give you a super amazing match, but it's the question of how long do they want this feud to go, right? And if they want it to still kind of stretch out a bit and not end in a one-off, you know, I think they're going to find another way to get this match done in this at the Backlash, at least, without giving away too much. So I'm really curious about all that. I think this is a pretty decent setup. I mean, what we're getting here and what we're really understanding is that they don't want people to know much about what Nakamura is able to do, especially on these shows when it comes to SmackDown. I think they've kind of hidden him a little bit because they want people to be excited to see what they see at Backlash for the first time, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I totally get that. And I think this is another good way of, you know, getting Dolph Ziggler out there to push in the match without having even Nakamura present. So I think it's decent. It's not the best ever, but I think it's good for and it's kind of funny. I think it was kind of a comical thing that they did that.
Yeah, I mean, I had a little chuckle too, and yeah, like I said, this wasn't anything great or anything like that, but it got its job done, and that's really what matters. If you're still hyped for the match, then mission accomplished. Women's division stuff happens. We get a contract signing for the Big Six Woman Tag as Naomi, Charlotte, and Becky will take on the welcoming committee of Tamina, Carmella, and Natalia. They each get some time on the stick. They sign the contract. It's your typical thing that ends with Ellsworth taking some offense at Becky calling him a girl. And he gets on the mic and starts spouting a whole bunch of stuff that Becky wants him and that it'll never happen. And, you know, it makes a riff at Charlotte, Naomi. And Naomi sort of has enough, and Carmella jumps into the fray, which ends up making Naomi versus Carmella. Which is overly okay, and you have a lot of interference from the welcoming committee, from Ellsworth, and of course the extracurriculars on the outside with Becky Lynch and Charlotte near the end that end up costing Naomi the match as Carmella gets the surprise, well, maybe not surprise, the distraction roll up as she gets the big win for her team and they all celebrate to the back. So, thoughts on the segment, and are you at all excited for the six-woman tag, Gary?
I'll just talk about the segment first. You know, looking at this, at first I thought, okay, this could be good. I thought, you know, this is kind of interesting, you know, this situation, because we have so many different, you know, feuds involved and all that with the welcoming committee and, of course, this mixed match face team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not exactly on the same page, but I think that they all kind of had to come together to beat the welcoming committee. And I kind of thought this whole thing went too long. I don't know if that's weird to say, but I just kind of felt like it stretched out a little bit too much. I think Naomi talked a little bit longer than she should have. I think James Ellsworth, that whole thing could have really been done without. I mean, and it's not that I want to save time. I just think that I was kind of starting to go, okay, yeah. And that's not good. I kind of felt like, you know, it was a lot of just words that didn't really matter. It really just kind of, you know, silly barbs back and forth. It's just kind of silly. So in the long run, I think this contract signing was not one of my favorites at all. But it is what it is. I think the match itself, when it comes to getting these six ladies in the ring at Backlash, I think you could have some really big moments, but I don't know that I love it. It's fairly okay. That's the way I really do feel about it. I'm not really all that excited about it. I don't think that there's going to be so much involved that I'm going to be walking away saying, oh, almost the best match of the night or the best match of the night. I think I'm going to be walking around saying, okay, there you go. That match is done. And so kind of like I did it with the Carmella and Naomi. Okay, yeah. Kind of what I predicted. That I figured that would happen. Okay, good. Yeah. Right. So I don't know, Paul. I'm not really enthusiastic about it. I don't know if I'm a bad person for not being enthusiastic about it, but I don't really care a lot about this whole thing.
Excuse me. It's not, I don't think you should be, you know, like ashamed or anything that you're not into this, because this is busy work, right? They're holding stuff over to try to keep everybody involved. And sort of stretch out for time here before they go back to either Naomi and Charlotte, or if Naomi loses the belt to somebody beforehand, or whatever they're going to do out of this. You know, there's some interesting directions to go out of this, at least. But, I mean, it appears that this is still going to end up back Charlotte Naomi at some point after this match, whether they deal with the welcome committee or not here, sort of up in the air. But whether it's at the next pay-per-view after Backlash or SmackDown, which I'm totally blanking on, or if this is going to SummerSlam, or however they're planning on doing this is essentially a holding pattern while they try to figure everything out. So,
yeah, and that's understandable. And I'm not being hard on this thing because of, you know, what they're doing. I just, like you said, it's busy work, and it feels like busy work. They need to pour more sugar on this. You know what I mean? And absolutely. I don't know how you can do that, Paul. I don't know if there's any magic formula. I think this is a lot harder to book than we give him credit for. I think this is a situation, it's a no-win. They've got to kind of finalize everything and get things going in a different direction, and they're just taking their time doing it. So you're right.
Absolutely taking their time doing it. And I think the only thing really left big that we have to talk about is the tag team division, as we get another Fashion Files with Breeze and Fandango. Fandango is up to his ears in fashion felonies. Breeze is undercover as a janitor, which is just absolutely hilarious. And they run down Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin's merchandise and the Usos' hair and all these other things. And it's just as magical as the other Fashion File segments have been, and leads into a matchup with the Colognes, where really Breezango gets their butts handed to him for about 3 minutes of the match, and then the last 20 seconds they make the big comeback and get the win. So once again, this is another championship match where I don't feel like the challengers really have a shot in heck of winning these belts, and the Usos pretty much say as much afterwards, that they're all fired up about beating them up and doing what they can to keep the titles. And honestly, I don't really feel as if their championships are in jeopardy.
You're not wrong. As much as I love Breezango and this whole comedy thing that they're doing with, you know, the police, the whatever, I think it's got some good moments. I think it was kind of funny, you know, having this segment tonight, you know, with, you know, Tyler Breeze coming there in disguise and, you know, Fandango doesn't know who he is. It's funny. I mean, it's stupid, but it's funny. So, I mean, I think that's the point. I don't think this is meant to be taken serious. But saying all that, I think it also leads to your point of the fact that them being so silly and the way that they won the match that they had tonight against, you know, I don't know. Do they still call – they don't call themselves Puerto Ricans anymore. What do they call themselves? I forget. Do they have a certain name they call –
They're just called the Colognes now.
The Colognes. Okay, they are called the Colognes. I can never remember that. See, changing their name on me like that. The Colognes, I like that. But anyway, you know, to be in the Colognes the way they did didn't really inspire you to think that they're going to come out and win the tag titles either, to be honest with you. So, but, I mean, I think, once again, you're completely right, Paul, on the fact that we're in another match where really it's going to be kind of hard to be inspired to really get behind it because of the fact that you just kind of feel like the Usos are going to come in and find their way and beat these guys down. And it's also part of the fact that they're so comical. I don't know that we're ready on SmackDown to have a comedy team win the tag titles just yet. So.
Yeah, I mean, for all we know, they could do a surprise change where Breezango end up winning because American Alpha get involved or whatever, you know, is going to happen. But, I mean, as of this moment, it just feels like the Usos are going to walk away with this thing. And I know that's not really what they're after. I know they're trying to build this team up and all these other things. But I don't think, since they've won the number one contendership, it doesn't really feel like they've made them feel like they're on a roll or anything. They're just sort of barely getting these wins. And if that's what they're going for, then they really need to talk about that more on commentary as sort of being, you know, yeah, they're all, you know, fun and games and fashion files and all this other stuff. But, you know, whenever they get in the ring, they're, you know, they're still, you know, not as focused, but until the end, and then they somehow manage to pull it out. Like, I mean, any sort of mention of that would be immensely helpful just to at least make it feel like this is purposeful and how you're trying to build this team.
Mm-hmm. And if you're also going to win like that, you need to be more funny. Mm-hmm. You know, it needs to be more of, oops, I didn't mean to win, but I did. You know, things like that, right? I think that kind of sells that more than it does just having a match, being beat down, and then all of a sudden at the end finding a way to win. I think that just, it doesn't do a whole lot for you. It doesn't make you look any better. I think you're completely right on that. So, you know, I'm not saying I don't want, you know, Breezango to be tag champions. I mean, I'd be okay with it. I just don't know that it's their time yet. And I think the Usos are doing such a good job in the way that they've kind of portrayed themselves recently. I mean, my goodness, I just love the way they kind of cut that promo tonight. I thought they were spot on. I think they did an excellent job. And I'm content with them being the tag champions if they continue that kind of work. So we'll see.
I may not always know what they're trying to say or what's supposed to be a joke and what isn't, but they do it with a lot of fire, and that does count for something.
Yeah, it does, and I also kind of like the hip-hop flavor that these guys bring as well. It's something we really don't have a lot on SmackDown, and heck, even Raw. So it's kind of nice to have a tag team like these guys who really kind of bring in the audience that, you know, is really into hip hop or to really dig that style. So, I mean, I think the Usos definitely have their place, and I'm kind of glad they're champions right now. Breezango, if they ever become champions, I will be happy for those guys, but I think they need a little bit more steam behind them before they reach that level.
Yeah, I certainly think it's working for the tag division right now. And like we've said, it's not very deep, so they don't have a lot of ways to go. So the faster they can get these teams rolling again, the better. I think that's everything for SmackDown. So we just got to put a number on this bad boy, Gary. What you got?
All right. You know, this episode wasn't half bad. You know, for a go-home show, they set up a lot of things. But, you know, for the most part, you know, kind of reviewing everything, I don't think anything on this show just super blew me out of the water. I don't think that there was anything here that just made me sit here and start to say to myself, I can't wait till Backlash on Sunday. That's kind of an issue for me, but I'm not going to knock them too hard. I could kind of see the direction they're going. I'm going to give them a 6, and I think that's being a little generous. I don't think any of these matches really, you know, like I said before, made me super happy or super excited. So I think a 6 for me.
There's some above-average wrestling on this show in the opener and the main event. There's some stuff you'd rather sort of it was there in the other two matches. I think a lot of the talking and a lot of the actual build going towards Backlash this week was largely good, to you know, essentially what you expect out of WWE these days. So is a solid go home. Is a smidge above average for me. I'm going to go 5.5. But once again, it's an easy 2 hours to watch too. So if you missed it, you're not missing a whole ton, but maybe you do watch it just because, you know, it's still an easy show to watch.
Oh, for certain. And, you know, hope everybody goes and does check it out, because, you know, I think there is some stuff here. It's worth your time. It's not the best show, though. And, you know, I don't want anybody to think that I'm trying to oversell it, but I think it was, you know, pretty decent. But yeah, that is our SmackDown Live review for this week. We hope everybody enjoyed it. Make sure you go check out the 205 Live review, plus all our other great reviews that we do, like Raw, NXT. So, you know, if you want to go check all that out and you don't know how to go do it, make sure you go subscribe to Wrestling to the Max, and you can go find that on iTunes or wherever you like to find your podcast. Plus, also, don't forget to go to W2Mnet.com. That's a place where you can find not only the podcast, but some great written reviews. We'll have Backlash coming up this weekend, so we'll probably have some things on the website for that as well. Plus, you know, we want to let you guys know, if you like all the stuff that you do find on the on the website and you want some of the podcasts from that website, make sure you go check out the W2M Network. That's also a great place to go subscribe. So, hey, you know, make sure you go get that today if you haven't done it already. But yeah, so for me and Paul, I think we're out of here and we are done. So we'll see you guys down the road.
Have a good one, guys.